Bibles, please turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we'll read verses 19 through 22 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22. Galatians 5, 19 through 22. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, endings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us today. Lord, this morning the altars were full and people being saved and people being baptized and lives being changed. Know how we were challenged. And yet, like a spiritual hospital, we're still in need. We're still sick because of sin. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts. Change our lives so that we could go out and reach more folks for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The title of my sermon this evening is this: Powerful Love. Powerful Love. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I will reach back into my past for just a moment. It's my privilege for almost 18 years to serve under the ministry of a man by the name of Dr. Jack Hiles. I got to be in what you might call the inner circle of his friends, and we met on a weekly basis for all those many years. And I noticed something about him that just amazed me. I noticed the love of God that was demonstrated in his life. Maybe there's something that I didn't get that I should have gotten while under his ministry. Maybe there were some things that I should have given a little bit more attention to that I did not. But I was enamored with his ability as a human being to express the love of God. I have, in the last many years, been on a quest. I want so desperately to understand love. There are a lot of things about the Christian life that mean a lot to me. I love to preach, and I love so many things about the Christian life, but I sure would like to learn to love God's way. I hope that you have that desire. I preached at grade school chapel this week, and me and all the kids, we did something. We voted. We voted 100% unanimously that we have decided that you ought to celebrate Valentine's Day 365 days a year. And it wasn't just about getting candy. We voted that 365 days a year, we ought to give our hearts away. 365 days a year, we ought to love. Did you know something? You could be kind and love people 365 days a year, like you have gone out of your way to love for Valentine's Day. We shared a little bit of candy over the thing, but the truth of the matter is the sweetness of the chapel service and the sweetness of the day was the decision that we made, that we would learn to love, and we would do it 365 days out of the year. Stay with me. I'm going to read a few paragraphs to you. It's a true story and one that moves my heart, and I hope you'll listen if you would. Moses Mendelssohn, the grandfather of the well-known German composer, was far from being handsome. Along with a rather short stature, he had a grotesque hunchback. One day, he visited a merchant in Hamburg who had a lovely daughter. Moses, the hunchback, fell hopelessly in love with the beautiful woman. But she was repulsed by his ugly appearance and rejected him. When it came time for him to leave, Moses gathered his courage and climbed the stairs to her room to take one last opportunity to speak with her. She was a vision of heavenly beauty, but caused him deep sadness by her refusal to even look at him. After several attempts of conversation, Moses shyly asked the beautiful woman, "Do you believe in marriages made in heaven?" "Yes," she answered, still looking at the floor, not willing to look at his ugly face. Do you?" And she replied, "Yes, I do." He said, "You see, in heaven, at the birth of each boy, the Lord announces which girl he will marry." "When I was born," said the ugly man, "my future bride was pointed out to me." Then the Lord added, "But Moses, your bride is going to be ugly, and she'll have a hunchback." "Right away I said to the Lord," said he, "Oh Lord, a woman that was ugly and with a hunchback? What a tragedy. I would not want her to go through life like that. Lord, please, let me be the ugly one and be the hunchback, that my bride might not live her life with that agony, that she might be happy." He said, "Ma'am, you're that woman." She looked up into his eyes and was stirred by his powerful love. She reached out and gave him her heart and became his devoted wife for a lifetime. It's a true story. True story. That's powerful love. Love that would prefer the pain to come upon oneself rather than those that we love. It's exactly what Jesus did. He loved us so much, he would suffer so that we would not have to. Please listen to me, if you will, as I talk to you about powerful love. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Now, there's a little list here. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, and it goes on. But notice, right at the top of the list, in the prominent position, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love." As Christians, we're all commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. We are His dwelling place. When God sealed His Holy Spirit within us, it was so He could control and influence our every behavior, every moment of every day. And to whatever degree you are filled with the Spirit, to that degree you are right with God. But the Holy Spirit was given to us. Oh, indeed, it was given to us to empower us for soul winning. It was. But He also was given to us so He could daily control everything about us. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The more that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more the love of God will be expressed in your life. If the Holy Spirit has control of your life, you will be overflowing with real godly love. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the love of this generation is anemic. The love of the Christians of this generation is anemic. The world produces powerless love. The Holy Spirit produces powerful love. Churches lack love because churches lack the fullness of God's Spirit. Christians lack love because Christians lack submission to the Holy Spirit. God cannot fully bless us when we're not filled with His Spirit, and your life will not be filled with love until you are filled with the Spirit of God. What is the bottom line in regard to disunity in a home? A lack of love. Somebody doesn't love God right. Somebody doesn't love the Bible right. Somebody doesn't love people right. Hey, what's your bottom line on disunity in a church? A lack of love. And a lack of love is a sign of the lack of Holy Spirit submission. Powerful love is Holy Spirit produced. Why? Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." Human love is weak and frail. God's love is powerful and productive. And the only way that you will produce powerful love is that you let God love through you and to you. You have the Holy Spirit of God, and His fruit is love. That is how you will love in a powerful way. How would you like to love in a powerful way? You see, God's love is powerful love. Man's love is anemic and weak and beggarly. God's love is the great love of the universe. And I say to you, we ought to want God's love in our lives. We ought to want God's love. Let me say, first of all, God is love, but not just love. God is powerful love. 1 John 4:16 says, "And we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is the great lover. And God is also the great giver. Hey, God created the sun to do what? To give. To give. The moon does what? Constantly gives. The stars do what? They constantly give. The earth is constantly giving. God has created those things that submit to Him to be givers. And may I say, you can give without loving. But you will not love without giving. You see, we are to love like God loved. And when you love, you're going to give of yourself. God is perfect love. God's love is not fleshly love, but it is pure spiritual love. God loves to love. God loves to love you. God loves to love others through you. But God cannot love others through you unless you have submitted to the Holy Spirit, because He is the internal device that God uses to flow His love through you to others. Your love is anemic because you try to love by yourself, and again, you're going to come up a failure doing it by yourself. God sealed the Holy Spirit of God inside you to help you to love God's way. To love God's way. God longs to control your every move so His Holy Spirit can help you to love other people. You know, people who love a lot are really living a lot. I said people who love a lot are really living a lot. The abundant life is not money. We talk about, we shall have life and have it more abundantly. My friend, money does not make you happy. But let me tell you something that will enrich your life above measure. It is the love of God. The abundant life is a life that is abundant in the love of God. I say to you, God is powerful love. Number two, we need powerful love. We need that love. Let's admit it, folks. We need love. We need it. We need it. When man originally sinned, selfishness triumphed. When man originally sinned, he was following self instead of following God. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, let me show you something. The very moment they fell into sin, Adam hides himself from God. Adam realizes he has sinned, and God gets to looking for Adam, and God says, "Adam, what are you doing hiding? What are you doing there, Adam?" And Adam said, "God, the woman thou gavest me." And he blames Eve. You know what happened? The minute man sinned, love was tainted. Adam and Eve had perfect love before sin. Sin came along. Adam and Eve are now about to have their first marital squabble. And Adam attacks his wife and blames his wife and picks on his wife. What happened? Love has been squelched by sin, and selfishness has moved in, and now Adam is concerned about Adam. Sin came and robbed the world of this thing called love. Hey, not long after the fall of man, Cain killed his brother. Do you realize until that moment there had never been a fuss between those brothers before? Before sin, that husband and wife got along. Before sin, Cain and Abel would have gotten along just perfectly. Sin came along. Selfishness moved in. Cain rises up, kills Abel. Adam attacks Eve and blames Eve. I'm going to tell you what's wrong in your family. You need an old-fashioned dose of the love of God in your family. I'm not talking about your love. Your love is tainted and anemic and weak. I'm talking about powerful love. You say, but Brother Owens, where do I get powerful love? The fruit of the Spirit is love. You submit yourself to the Spirit of God, and that will unleash the powerful love of God. And you'll begin to love like you've never loved before. You'll accomplish the purpose of love. But you see, we need that powerful love. When Jesus came down from heaven, it was to reestablish God's love and intent for man to be able to love like God. The Bible says the great and the famous verse of history, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to show us what love is. Jesus lived a life of love as our example. He died a death of love as our example. And when He died, before He left, He said this. He said, I'm going to go, but I will not leave you comfortless. I will leave the Holy Spirit behind. And the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. When Jesus left, He said, I was here to love you personally. Now I'm going to die and going on to glory. But I'm going to leave somebody behind, and we're going to seal them inside you when you get saved. What for? So you can have love in your life. When the fall of man came, love was squelched and love was beat up and pushed aside. Jesus came back to say, I want you to love again, like the original intent. He told us to love our enemies. He told us to love those that use us. He told us that true love never faileth. Charity never faileth. Listen to these verses. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. God commands it. He commands it. But God commands it because He knows that you can accomplish it if you will let His Holy Spirit do it through you. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. You say, Brother Owens, hey, I've got a church membership certificate. I show that to everybody so they can know I've been saved and baptized and I'm a member of the church and I'm one of His disciples. Tear that thing up. You learn how to love. By this shall all men know that ye are His disciples. You learn to love people and love each other. I'm not talking about loving sin. I'm talking about loving the sinner. Hey, the mark of the Christian, the brand of the Christian ought to be love. It ought to be that people can look and see what goes on in your life. And they ought to say, you know what? I'll bet you belong to that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And it ought to be love. I was tickled. I think it was Brother Lawrence or maybe Brother Hart. One of them came to me last night. We were preparing for our annual church-wide adult Valentine banquet. One came over and said, Brother Owens, this is very sweet. I was here getting set up and getting ready for the night, and you could hear the waitresses and the manager in the back talking, and you heard one say, well, I want to serve in the banquet room tonight. Evidently, there were other parties going on somewhere. And he was listening in and said, I want to be a part of this group. Now, this is somebody that doesn't come to our church, that just works at the banquet hall. He said they just kept on. You want to be a part of this. You want to see what happens here. And can I tell you what it was really all about? Somebody that had been there in the last couple of years watched a group of Christians that loved each other. They watched us get together and celebrate the love of God at a Valentine banquet. And they said, we're hungry for it. We need it. We want it. We want to be around it. That's how it ought to be. It ought to be that people say, that church out there, oh, they hate sin, but boy, how they love people. Boy, how they love people. You see, God is love, but He's a powerful love, not an anemic love. And we need that powerful love. And this world needs that powerful love. Number 3, powerful love conquers selfishness. powerful love conquers selfishness. Human love won't conquer selfishness. Anemic love won't conquer selfishness. But God's love, that will put your selfishness in check. Powerful, the love of God. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The only way you're going to love with powerful love is by submitting to the Holy Spirit of God and unleashing the love of God in your life. Self is a curse. Selfishness is the enemy of love. Selfishness toward God is the enemy of God. Selfishness toward man, selfishness toward God or our fellow man is a sign of a lack of love. Jesus came to save us from hell. And He also came to save us from ourselves. We get so filled with self. We just fill up with self. Hey, a selfless life is a life full of love. You should empty yourself of your selfishness, but to keep that out, you must fill yourself with love. As love enters, selfishness flees. When you're full of selfishness, you're void of true love. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, many pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to fill them, but few seem to get it. You want to know why? Because they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, but they're already full of themselves. If you were filled with the Holy Spirit, He would bring with Him love, and you would have the fruit of the Spirit. And you must first empty yourself of self and selfishness toward God, and selfishness toward your mate, and selfishness toward your children, and selfishness toward your mom, and selfishness toward your dad, and selfishness toward other Christians. And if you'll empty yourself of self, the Holy Spirit can come and fill you, and the love of God would overflow, and someone would say, hey, that lady right there, she loved in a powerful way. You ever met someone and you said, boy, their love is powerful. What powerful love. But you must empty yourself of self. The Bible says in Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, but the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You will not have the love of God in your life unless you have the Holy Spirit of God acting powerfully in your life. And here it says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Some think that that verse teaches that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart to me. Boy, we like that. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart to me, because God loves me. Oh, you have minimized that verse. Indeed, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart to you. But you are missing it. You are missing it. What's supposed to happen is the Holy Spirit of God sheds the love of God abroad in your heart, and it's supposed to get in there and overflow, and you're to be spreading it to everybody else. It's spread abroad. It's coming out of me. I'm spreading it everywhere. I'm overwhelmed with the personal love of God to the extreme that I just can't help it. I've got so much love going on, I got to spread it around. I got to give you a little, and you a little, and you a little, and you a little. Hey, the love of God is spread abroad. It's spreading everywhere. How was I able to do that? He said, oh, how can you love people you don't know? The Holy Ghost can do that. I travel the country. But let me tell you something that I do. I want to go to churches where people don't know me. And I want to love them. While I'm there, I want that church to say, you know, I don't even know that guy. But somehow I feel like he loved me while he was here. I'm not talking about curbing my message. God helping me that I never do that. And when I do it, I hope God just puts me on the shelf or kills me and takes me on to heaven. But I'm talking about loving people and letting God do it through me. How in the world could you go to a congregation and preach to somebody you don't even know and then be convinced in one night that you love them? I'll tell you how. You let God do it. You let God do it. the weeds of selfishness choke the flowers of love. Selfishness is sour and it squelches the sweetness of love. Powerful love conquers selfishness. Parents, listen to me now. You say, Brother Owens, my children, they seem so selfish and self-centered. It's me, 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 me. What do they need? Love of God. They need the love of God in their life. We can drive selfishness out of the selfish soul by it's intimidated by the love of God. They need the love of God is what they need. You see, God is love, but He's powerful love. And we need powerful love in our lives. Powerful love will conquer our selfishness. Number four, our love shows God's power. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, let me tell you something. Somehow, if we're not careful, we get this impression that you know, when you've got the Holy Spirit of God on you, there's this real unique moving of God in some great and mighty powerful way. And indeed there is. But it says the fruit of the Spirit is love. That moving of God in that magnificent way finds its roots in the love of God produced by the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's what brings revival that lasts. That's what brings changes in God's people that last. What? They get a hold of the love of God. They come face to face with the love of God. Love shows God's power. God wants His power known among His people. God wants His power known among the lost. His power is demonstrated by His love. Unified churches are churches where the love of God is lived by the people of God. A unified church shows the power of God to others. I promise you that. Churches where the Holy Spirit of God is not received and surrendered to are the churches where all the disunity and the fussing and the fighting and when you don't get along. But when you have the people in that church that have given themselves to the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God produces a love, and it's a unique love. It's a kind of love that says, you sinned, but I'm going to love you anyway. It's a kind of love that says, you hurt me, but I'm going to forgive you. You say, Lord, how does somebody live like that? How does somebody go and mend relationships? Oh, I'm hurting. I hurt so bad. You submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, and His love will overflow. And you can't but forgive. You can't but get it right. You can't but want unification. But the less you're surrendered to the Spirit, the less you're going to love and the less you're going to get along with people down at the church. Our love shows the power of God. Loving the lost shows God's power in your life. If you have a love for lost people, it shows that somehow God's Spirit is active in your life. He said, the ones I wish I cared about lost people. They sang the song earlier. They talked about, oh, the pain of one lost soul. Oh, the cost of losing one to the devil and losing one to hell. Let me tell you something. The reason why you do not care for the lost and you have no interest in soul winning is because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Because if you were filled with the Spirit of God, you would be concerned about other people's eternal destiny. You say, well, I come to church all the time. The question is not, do you come to church all the time? So do the Catholics. The question is, are you filled with the Spirit of God? And the Spirit of God will produce the love of God, and the love of God shows the power of God. Loving the law shows God's power in your life. Loving the Bible shows God's power in your life. Loving the brethren shows God's power in your life. Loving the fallen shows God's power in your life. You see, the reason why you criticize and attack the fallen is because you have a lack of love, and the reason you have a lack of love is because you have a lack of the Holy Spirit being active in your life. To whatever degree you have His power, you will demonstrate His love. You can't do one without the other. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I'll tell you something. In my lifetime, it has been my privilege to having heard, I think, the greatest preachers in this and a portion of the last generation. The most powerful preacher I've ever heard is Jack Hiles. I'm not just saying that because I was his assistant pastor. I've seen marvelous things happen when a man preached. I'll be very honest with you. The greatest lover of people that I've ever met in my life, as far as a human being is concerned, was Jack Hiles. I was amazed. I said in amazement, even while he would thunder aloud and preach on sin. I'd watch tears flowing down his face and dripping onto his pulpit as his heart was so tender because he knew that he needed to spank God's children for a moment. But he did it because he loved them. You see, love. You're not going to look, to whatever degree you have His power, you will demonstrate His love, and you can't do one without the other. A preacher who begs for Holy Spirit power should realize the fruit of that will be Holy Spirit love. You say, I wonder if I've got the Spirit of God upon me. Well, how good of a lover are you? See, I'd like to know. I'd like to know, how submitted to the Holy Spirit am I? How much do you love people? How do you love your enemies? So I'm having a hard time with that. And you're having a hard time getting yourself submitted to the Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. You need God's power. Hey, you're going to need God's power to love your enemies. Because your flesh, it just causes you to knock their head off. You will need the Holy Spirit of God and God's love to love your enemies. Because your love don't want to love your enemies. You want to love them to death. Let me say this and I'm finished. Christian service requires powerful love. Powerful love. We're not to do our service to God in the flesh. No. We're to go to the Holy Spirit of God and say, Holy Spirit of God, whatever I do for God, I want to do it in Your power. I want Your guidance. Holy Spirit of God, I submit myself to You. And as I teach that Sunday school class, as I run my bus route, as I go soul winning, as I sing in the choir, as I sing a solo or a duet or in a trio, Holy Spirit, You use me. I submit to You. You work through me. We're not to do our service to God in the flesh. Let me tell you something. You won't serve God for long without powerful love. You want to know why people come and go in the church? They try to do it in their own flesh. They do it in their own power. And they go, you ever been out there to Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and heard everything that guy preaches? What? You can't do that. No, you can't by yourself. We preach a holy book.
That's right.
This isn't a Sears and Roebuck catalog. That's a holy book written by a holy God. It's a spiritual book. You can't live a spiritual book unless you're willing to be spiritual.
Right.
So they'll come and go. And if they can find a church where people don't want to live like that, they'll all be satisfied with each other. The only way you're going to live a spiritual book is that you get spiritual, and the only way to get spiritual is to submit to the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will help you to do what you must do. You can't serve for long in the New Testament church without powerful love. You won't last in the ministry for long without powerful love. I recommend to some of you young men around here that have been called to preach, you better be working on your walk with God and make sure that you're submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit of God, because you're going to be commanded to love your enemies, and whether you like it or not, you're going to have them. And times when you'd like to just clamp them up, clamp their throat and lift them up and hang them up there on the wall and squeeze nice and hard till their eyes bulge out because they've attacked you and attacked your family, you have to love them. But the ones, how in the world could somebody do that? The Holy Spirit will do that through you. He'll do for you what you can't do, but you got to submit to Him to let Him do it. It's the love of God. If we're filled with the Spirit, we'll be filled with love. Your bus route needs you to love it. Your bus route needs the Holy Spirit to help you love it. Your Sunday school class needs love. Your family needs love. Your marriage needs love. Your choir needs love. Your special music needs love. This church, we need love. Every duty, love. Hey, the best soul winners are filled with God's power, which produces love. in life and in attitude. People that are not walking in the Spirit when they go soul winning have a very hard time demonstrating love to someone they don't even know. But people that are truly asking the Holy Spirit to fill them, the fruit of the Spirit is love, they're more apt to make a connection with people because what this world needs is love. What does your ministry need? Love provided by the Holy Spirit. Hey, preacher out there, what's your ministry need? Love. It'll be provided by the Holy Spirit. Hey, evangelist, what does your ministry need? Love, provided by the Holy Spirit. Hey, bus captain, what does your bus route need? Love, provided by the Holy Spirit. Not by you, but by the Holy Spirit. He uses you as a tool. He flows through you to them. Hey, school teacher, what do your students need? Love, provided by you? No, provided by the Holy Spirit of God. What does your, hey, secretary, what do those that you come in contact with around the office need? Love, provided by you? No. Yours is tainted. Yours is anemic. They need powerful love. Hey, bus worker, what do those bus riders need? Love. Hey, what kind of love? Your love? No, God's love. Where am I going to get that? You get it from the Holy Spirit of God that's inside you because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hey, coach, what do those boys that play ball under you need? Love. From where? From you? No, they need it from God, but it's going to come through you to them. Hey, missionary, what is it that those people on that foreign field need? They need love, for God so loved the world. Where are we going to get it? Hey, if you give them yours, it's anemic. If you give them yours, it's not powerful. If you give them yours, it's tainted. It's weak. It's not the kind of love they need. It's not lasting. You give them God's love. Well, where in the world am I going to get it? The Holy Spirit inside you, the fruit of the Spirit is love, and you got to submit to the Spirit so the Spirit can love through you. Most problems in churches would go away if the people really loved. But people will not really love until they have submitted to the Holy Spirit of God, because the fruit of the Spirit is love. Let's not lose that, fundamentalist. Let's not lose what it's really all about. God is love. God is love. Absolutely, indeed, He is. And you that love a lot, you are really living a lot. You know, there's some of you, the only person you love might be the person sitting beside you. Who else in this world knows you love them? Hey, let me ask you a question. So you think you're good Christians. How many bus kids know that you love them around here? How about some of the kids that misbehave during the service and they sit right over here and they misbehave and all you do is look over there every once in a while and get mad? Any of them know that you love them? Hey, who knows that you love them outside your immediate family, if even your immediate family does? Some of you, you are robbing the people around you because all you do is you love them in your flesh. There are people in here that have reasonably good relationships in marriage. He said, well, neither one of us are filled with the Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. You want an excellent marriage? You want a powerful marriage? You want some powerful love? Why don't both of you submit to the Holy Spirit, and then you'll see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and you'll get the kind of love that you would have never dreamed. Your marriage will go to new heights, heights that you never dreamed it could be at. Why? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And that's exactly what we need, is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.